Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD and, of course, always at iHeart. Thanks for downloading us. 50,000 of you a week. Can't be wrong, we hope. And we have a wonderful guest, great topic for you as well. That is, what do you do if you have low back pain and you really don't want to have surgery, and do you need surgery? So our guest is David Hanscom, H-A-N-S-C-O-M. He's a physician, orthopedic spine surgeon, who has written two really very outstanding books. One, Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? Take Control with a Surgeon's Advice. And the second is Back in Control. The Back in Control is the website, so no punctuation, BACKINCONTROL.com. And as usual, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. PersonaNutrition.com is the sponsor of our podcast. So we thank them and thank you. You can always go to MyPersona.com. Dr. Hanscom, we have you now, and I am privileged. One of the wonderful surgeons at the Cleveland Clinic is a guy named Ed Benzel, who no matter how many people I refer to him for consideration of spine surgery, he finds a way almost always of getting them to manage without it and much better for it. I take it that's where you are now with this Back in Control. BackinControl.com is, I guess, has a lot of resources about not needing spine surgery and what to do to avoid it.
Right. Well, thank you very much, first, for having me on your show. I am very excited about this. And I did spine surgery for 32 years. I trained in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dr. Benzel, by the way, is a huge name in spine surgery, as you probably know. And what's happened the last 10 years especially is that spine surgery has just spiraled out of control. And as you know, surgeons are making quick decisions with minimal data. The problem is there's no data to support a spine fusion for back pain. None. There's not one research paper in 50 years that says we should be doing this. And as you also know, that disc degeneration has been documented to not be a source of back pain, yet that's the most common reason we do surgery for back pain is to fuse a disc. So really, we're literally pretending to do medicine. The success rate of a spine fusion for back pain is 22%.
So 22% isn't very high, if you would. That's one in five. It's probably the placebo of any surgical, of any surgeon laying a knife on the back is probably one in five. I don't know if that's been done. So that means that most people with low back pain should do things other than have surgery for their low back.
Right. I mean, back pain is solvable, and as you know, chronic pain is complicated. In about 6 to 12 months, it's been well documented on research MRI scans called functional MRI scans that the source of the pain or the driver of the pain in the brain goes from the nociceptive center or the pain center to the emotional center. You have the same pain but a different driver. And the current definition of chronic pain is that it is an embedded memory that becomes connected with more and more life experiences, and the memory can't be, you know, erased. So that came out of Chicago. It's been about 7 years of research now out of Chicago that absolutely documents the nature of chronic pain. And as you know, mainstream medicine right now is ignoring it.
And so what does someone do? What's the first step they should do when they have back pain? Is the first step at go to a, if you will, someone in physical therapy? Or what should they be doing? Let's say they have a episode where they develop back pain, and I'll give you a common thing. They're carrying something that's too heavy, or they're lifting something, and they all of a sudden feel back pain, and it's sharp at that time, but becomes dull and chronic and always there. What do they do?
Well, I think the first thing to do is differentiate acute pain versus chronic pain. So if the pain's there 3 months or less, It's a good posture, biomechanics, ice, heat, time, physical therapy. Those things work. But the data shows about 50% of people with acute back pain develop chronic pain, and that's where the pain center switches from the pain center to the emotional center. So between 6 to 12 months, they did a research out of Chicago that showed that in every patient, every time when it became chronic, the pain became memorized. It becomes like phantom limb pain. And of course, you can't do surgery on a leg that's not there. And so it's really critical to understand that chronic pain is complicated. It becomes memorized, just like riding a bicycle, and you can't erase it. So it's always a combination approach to solve it, which is the physical therapy, conditioning, medications if you need them. There's good posture, biomechanics. But you also have to work on sleep. They did a study out of Israel that showed that lack of sleep actually caused chronic pain. They did not find chronic back pain specifically. So I thought it was the other way around. I didn't realize that that paper came out about 4 years ago. Very large prospective study, 4 years, 1,200 patients. They found lack of sleep actually induced chronic pain. When I see a patient with pain that seems to be becoming chronic, I look at their stress levels. I look at their sleep. We start working through all these issues one little step at a time. But it's always a multi-pronged approach. And by working on every variable at the same time, it's a solvable problem. But you can't just do random physical therapy. You have to work on all the variables at the same time.
So when someone like this presents with something that has been acute, but it's short period, meaning it takes some time to develop that memory of it, as I understand it. So let's just say they've had back pain for a week now. So they had something sudden. They were in bed for a couple days on the weekend, but now they're struggling to get through the day. Who should they be seeing? What should they be doing? Should they go to your website first, backincontrol.com, or what would you recommend they do? Do they go to their general practitioner?
Well, I think in that situation, it's different. I think that a physical therapist is excellent. I think a chiropractor can do some nice work. A massage therapist can do good work. But basically, with acute pain, it's usually some deep tissue gets strained. The muscles spasm around it. It's incredibly painful. A lumbar corset from the drugstore helps a lot. Ice helps. Resting a little bit helps. The data also shows that it's really critical to keep moving. In other words, we used to, when I was a resident 35 years ago, would recommend bed rest for a week. That's been way, way overturned. But yeah, keep moving upright. Don't bend over at the waist. And usually within a week, things come down pretty dramatically. My personal experience has been about 6 weeks before it really completely resolves. But usually that really bad pain is gone within 5 to 7 days.
And then what should they do to one, what do they do if it's not gone in 5 to 7 days? And secondly, what do they do to prevent it?
Well, let's go back to the acute discussion first, is that the disc is shown not to be a cause of chronic back pain, but we do know the rings around each disc have lots of pain fibers in them. It's called the annulus. You can get an annular tear, and so the first thing with back care in general is to not bend over at the waist without support. You know, in other words, you've heard that your whole life, use your legs, not your back. It's really critical to do that. I had back surgery myself 35 years ago. I was a heavy construction worker, had horrendous back pain before I actually ruptured my disc. And I swear over 35 years, I just do not bend over at the waist without support. So number one is posture, biomechanics, because we lean forward, there's a big lever arm effect that really stresses the disc. And it's a big problem. The second thing is stay in shape. You know, get your buttocks muscles strong. 40% of the support of the lower back comes from the abdominal muscles compressing on the abdominal contents. And so keeping yourself in really good physical shape in the gym is excellent. There's also a correlation between good aerobic conditioning and less back pain. There's also smoking. People who smoke have double the incidence of acute low back pain than people who don't smoke. But just the basic things that keep you healthy are really critical. The problem with acute back pain is that it is so severe, people worry they're going to be paralyzed, which essentially never happens. So it happens to get that fear factor in place, and it's justified to some degree, but you have to understand that usually there's not permanent damage after an acute back injury. It will calm down. It will go away. But often people carry that fear going forward, and that fear is what actually translates someone into chronic back pain. So yeah, it is bad. It's very uncomfortable. And people think there must be something terribly wrong, but there's actually not.
And by the way, I should say, we're talking with Dr. David Hanscom, H-A-N-S-C-O-M, who's author of Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? And Back in Control. The new book is Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? Take Control with a Surgeon's Advice. And his website is backincontrol.com. He is located in Seattle. And I suppose people can find your address by going to backincontrol.com. And there's much more than just about the book there. There's a whole set of plans you can do to stay healthy. And as it says, you are known for talking patients out of surgery, which is a good thing. What do you do when... And I'm going to give you a specific case if I can, because this got emailed to us just now. Person has had chronic low back pain that they're doing fine with sleep. They're using Advil, they say. But they have this chronic pain that radiates into the left leg, and they say they've had two epidural steroids. Each one gave them almost a week of relief, but then the pain came back after that. And they want to know, one, is epidural steroids, are continuing with that useful? And two, what else should they be doing, or who should they see? Because their primary doctor wants to refer them to a spine surgeon.
Right. The first question I always ask if I saw this patient was, is the problem mostly back pain or mostly leg pain? Now, if it's mostly leg pain, then it becomes potentially a surgical problem. That is, we see a structural problem with matching symptoms, potentially surgery makes sense. Many people, though, even though they have some leg pain and problems, mostly back pain, and back surgery doesn't help back pain. So that's always the first question. So the fact that the sleep is good is great. The epidurals can help the leg pain, can help the back pain indirectly through the anti-inflammatory effect. It can give some temporary relief, but it's not going to solve the problem. So the other questions we have when you're trapped in pain, in other words, how long has the pain been there? If it's been there 6 to 12 months, people get pretty frustrated. When you're frustrated, it changes your body's chemical profile from oxytocin and dopamine, the good drugs, to adrenaline, cortisol, and histamines. What happens, you double the nerve conduction. So if you're having some other life stresses that are upsetting you, or the pain itself is upsetting, when you feel trapped, it changes your body's chemistry. On the website, there's a series of steps of some simple writing exercises that have been documented in over 1,000 research papers to be effective. We don't know why it works so well. I was in chronic pain myself for 15 solid years. And within 2 weeks after I started these writing exercises, by accident, by the way, my pain started to drop. By 6 weeks, I was fine. In my 6 months, I was completely pain-free. But for some reason, again, over 1,000 research papers document this. Research started out of Austin, Texas. Simply writing down your thoughts, tearing them up, somehow separates you from this frustration factor. Don't know why. There's also what's called active meditation, which is an abbreviated mindfulness process. We ask people not to talk about their pain at all, because if your attention's on the pain and keeps you agitated, again, when your body chemistry is full of stress chemicals, it doubles the nerve conduction. The animal studies show that the nerve conduction doubles, so you feel the pain more, then you're more frustrated. And again, I don't know this person well enough to actually give much more detailed explanation than that, but again, very solvable. My surgical practice dropped. I was operating on less than 5% of the patients who came into my office by the last 5 years of my career. Because by just going through all the variables that might be affecting the pain, goes away. Even the surgical patients get better without surgery.
Back with more of You, the Owner's Manual in a minute, but here's a gift from Dr. Mike. Vitamins and supplements can be confusing, right? Not any longer. Persona's experts cut through the hype and confusion. No more guessing what vitamins to take, no dealing with bulky bottles, or wasting money on the wrong supplements. Persona has finally made vitamins and supplements easy. If you want custom nutritional supplements just for you to support better sleep, mood, and energy, take the free 5-minute online assessment to find out exactly what your body needs. You'll instantly get doctor-approved recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription medications. Then get personalized vitamin packs delivered to your door each month. The daily packs make it so convenient. Just tear off a pack in the morning and another pack at night. 5 minutes can change your health. Persona's personalized program makes it easy. And right now, Dr. Roizen's listeners can go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off right now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
And I literally put myself out of business.
So we are, I should tell you, we're talking with Dr. David Hanscom, who is the author of Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? And the book Back in Control. There are two books that he has written on spine surgery. And the website is backincontrol.com. Your journey out of chronic pain starts now.
I do have to make one correction. I actually quit my surgical practice in December because I would see 3 to 5 patients every week who were being badly damaged by surgery that they didn't need. I'm pursuing this project full-time. I actually live in Oakland, California. I've given up my clinical practice completely. I'm doing podcasts, lectures, TV, writing more books. But spine surgery right now is out of control. We're being way more aggressive. The downside of a failed spine surgery is often catastrophic. And the spine surgery world is really hurting people right now. It's a big problem.
So Dr. Hanscom is in Oakland, California, correct? Correct. Sorry, I apologize.
It's okay, but I'm not practicing. I'm doing a little bit of coaching with the Pain Project, but in general, I'm actually just pursuing trying to get this message out in a really big way.
So, and the website is backincontrol.com. I should tell you that this podcast, You the Owner's Manual, this is 970-B. The B is always the guest segments. The A is the latest news of the week, the medical news of the week, and what it means for you so you can take control and live at the top of your curve. And as usual, we are sponsored by Persona Nutrition, personanutrition.com or mypersona.com. So, Dr. Hanscom, when you say it is out of control, and I don't disagree with that, but give us some data on it, would you? How much has this increased? Is it, how common is it? And as you said, patients are only helped about 1 out of 5 times, which is very similar to what you would guess a placebo might do. That is just an incision on the back without doing anything more than an incision on the back.
Right. There is a paper that came out last month in the Journal of Pain that documented that every invasive procedure we're doing for knee pain and back pain in the presence of chronic pain doesn't work, is flat out ineffective. And then the data also shows if you operate in the presence of untreated chronic pain, in other words, if pain's memorized, and you operate on a different body part, let's say you have chronic neck pain, and you have a hernia repair, you can induce chronic pain at the hernia site between 40 to 60% of the time. And 10% of the time, it can become permanent. So actually, chronic pain is a complication of a well-performed procedure is not discussed very often. What the data says to do is to calm down the nervous system, work on the sleep, adjust medications, do the rehab before you do surgery. That's when my surgical rate dropped to 4.5% because a bunch of patients, we would do this for 12 weeks on every patient every time. They would come in for their final visit to do surgery, and the pain was gone. They just didn't need surgery. Done. And then there's a paper out of Baltimore that shows only 10% of surgeons are actually acknowledging the risk factors for poor outcomes before they do the surgery, only 10%. Then we're seeing an endless number of patients having major spinal surgical decisions made on the first visit. The doctor doesn't know the patient doesn't know the doctor. As you know, situational stresses can make a big difference in people's perception of pain. Even before I knew much about chronic pain 30 years ago, if somebody had had a major loss like a job or a family member, I still went to the surgery for at least 6 weeks, and even back then, it was remarkable how often people's pain would drop down once they get past that acute stress. But right now, we're moving very fast. medicine has become very aggressive in pushing procedures that have been documented to be ineffective. Spine surgery is often the largest revenue generator of a given hospital, and we actually get pushed to do procedures that don't work. We're actually encouraged, and actually, I have a significant number of colleagues who have been fired because they weren't productive enough, but they just refused to do the surgery that they knew wouldn't work.
Well, we want to thank you a great deal, David Hanscom. The website is backincontrol.com. And I should say this is 970B. Dr. David Hanscom, backincontrol.com. Thanks very much. Thanks, Randall, for great engineering. And we'll be back next week with another new guest and something that'll let you take back your life. Thanks again.